Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. Boys Club Edition. Dylon playing the good tunes. Coming in at 8 o'clock, man. That's really the pivot point of the day is when Dylon plays good tunes at 8 o'clock. That's when you know the vibes are high. That's when you know he's locked in. That's when you know he's ready for the weekend. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Quick reminder, we'll be giving away Machine Gun Kelly tickets coming up at 8:40. Make sure you keep us locked in to have your option to do that and call in. Also, we've got Dave Archer coming on at 8:20, and we're going to have a conversation about Michael Penix, about his footwork, about the pistol, about the viral Dan Orlovsky video, and all the things going on with this offense. And also, don't forget, 404-726-0929. We'll do the wake-up call coming up in 1 second. I pose the question, Bo, who's your favorite person to hear talk football? You were bringing up, because you brought up Cam Newton a minute ago, and Cam Newton and his conversations about Tua Tagovailoa. Cam Newton doesn't like break down football. I think Harry Douglas does it a little bit more. Ryan Clark, obviously Dan Orlovsky. Those are X's and O's people. I also enjoy Andrew Whitworth and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think that's my issue a little bit with Cam, is I like Cam overall. I think Cam's the kind of person that I vibe with for the fact that he's unapologetic about who he is.
He is definitely that.
I like that. What does bother me a little bit is he played the game and he was in the people's chair or seat or, you know, shoes that he takes down shots at.
Yeah.
And I feel like when he breaks down the game or when he breaks down a player, he never says anything about their play or where they made a mistake or what they're doing wrong. He just, like, with the Tua thing, he was like, well, he makes money now, and he talks a lot. I liked it better when he was playing well and not talking, and, you know, lots of suspected for a guy that drives a Ferrari, and I'm like, okay, well, where are you telling me anything about? I know that he sucks, but I know that Tua is not playing well right now. Where did you tell me anything that I did not know before?
Yeah.
And that's my only thing with that. That's why I do like some of those guys you're talking about. I love Cole Kubrick, who you've gotten
best,
me into listening to more.
He's the best.
I know I'm tooting on horn here. I really enjoy hearing Randy McMichael talk about it.
I agree.
I think Randy does a good job, especially when he talks about passing concepts and stuff, you know, with tight ends. Obviously that's his expertise. But, I mean, I give you a little bit of credit when you talk about some of the stuff with offensive line play and stuff.
Thank you.
That's good. To me, I like Mayock when he did it. I love Troy Aikman when he talks about it.
Yeah.
Peyton and Eli good, but Dave Archer is my favorite. And I think it's just because Arch explains it in a way that I understand, and probably because he's a person that taught me most of what I know.
Right. That's exactly why my favorite is Kirk Herbstreit. And I know that he's hit or miss with some people, certain fan bases in college football, think there's an agenda, whatever. I think that he has the best at explaining concepts to people on television that maybe I've ever seen. And that's why he has the dual jobs he has of calling Thursday night football in the NFL and calling the marquee game on Saturday for college football. He's so good at breaking down concepts of football games.
I think his biggest asset, and I'm not criticizing because I'm not saying he doesn't know stuff. He knows way more than I'll ever know. I just think he does it in a disarming, comfortable way.
I agree.
He talks about the gates. It's an easy listen.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. All right, so 404-726-0929. I want to hear a couple things. I want to hear what you think about the Falcons-Commanders game. I want to hear what you think and your predictions for Georgia and Alabama. And I also want to hear who your favorite person is to hear talk football. Dylan, let's hit this thing. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you, Cole Kublik might be your favorite person to talk to break down football.
He's maybe one of them.
Dave Archer, A1.
You know who else is really good? Chris Spielman. He doesn't do games anymore, but yeah. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, I used to love watching him too and listening to him as well. There's some guys out there that can really do it well. I think Greg McElroy actually does it pretty well also, breaks things down.
McElroy has gotten so much better.
So much better. I don't feel like he's trying to play TV anymore. I used to feel like he was trying to play TV, talk like this. Come on, man.
You've done it all. You've been on TV doing analysis stuff, like post-game. But how much is it? Is just being comfortable with your own knowledge and your delivery, and kind of just yourself and your role?
I think he has become much more confident in his critique. That's what I'll say. I think sometimes when you have to critique people, you're like, man, am I seeing this the right way? I'm so used to listening to coaches and listening to other people tell me what I'm looking at that now I'm the guy doing that. Are you comfortable? Do you watch enough tape to be comfortable in your criticisms of people? And I think he definitely is now. I don't know that he was always like that early in his career, but now – guy watches more game film than anybody on a Saturday. So.
Is Jesse Palmer still doing games? I don't feel like I've heard him do a game all year.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to
that. I'm going to Google it.
Maybe step back a little bit. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 404-726-0929. A lot of thoughts on football games going on all weekend in the state of Georgia and elsewhere. And also, like I said, the conversation about who you like listening to. Hey, let's go to DJ from the South Side. DJ, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
What's going on? What's going on? This is what I like to hear. For the Falcons and Commanders game, man, this really need to be a big bounce-back game for us, man. We need things clicking on all cylinders. We have the pieces, we have the scheme, and we just need the heart to go do it. Now, for the Georgia-Alabama, I'm a part of Mike Mafia.
Wait.
And Mike, I am sorry. I am so sorry. Go dogs.
No.
Go dogs. Go dogs.
And
honestly, fair enough. Honestly, I like hearing you talk, man, about football, man. You and Bo, y'all do, I guess I'm a homie, but y'all too, y'all break it down. It's easy to listen to me getting off work. I love it. But I also have to say, Swagoo, when he's doing his thing on ESPN, yes. Swagoo, he knows what he's talking about, man. But peace out. I love y'all. I hear y'all every morning, man. I'm out.
Appreciate you, my DJ. Friend. Yeah, we're going to put that on a commercial. Or print that one out.
I mean,
he's great though. Marcus Spears, he's spot on with that. Listening to Marcus Spears, spot on. That's one I was not thinking about. And I think that's a huge personality that ESPN obviously leans on as well. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Frank over in McDonough. Frank, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Living the dream.
I hear you. Listen, with this Falcons Commanders game, I'm sorry, I'm going to still give it to the Commanders. Okay. Mainly because I'm not saying the Commanders going to score a lot of points, but the Falcons' offense, man, I can see them losing like a 14-6 game.
Yeah,
and I mean, Michael Penix has to prove it to me. And here's my wake up call: I can actually see Michael Penix getting benched if they really lose this game and the offense just crumbles. I can see Raheem Morris getting desperate, and after the bye week, you probably see Kirk Cousins. So.
Interesting.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but don't be surprised if it does. Yeah. And then Alabama, for some reason, Alabama is Georgia's kryptonite. Georgia can beat everybody else, but you look at their record against Alabama, for some reason, it just doesn't happen. So I'm giving the edge to Georgia. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm giving the edge to Alabama this weekend. And then as far as, you know, hearing people talk on radio, I mean, a lot of people just doing it for likes, but I mean, I like listening to you guys in the morning. You know, it's just more about fun sports talk radio versus any type of rage bait. So, I like to hear sports. I like to hear people, you know, critique folks, but be professional.
I love
you don't have
man.
To make it personal.
Appreciate the phone call, man.
Thank you.
I really actually really appreciate Frank's call there, Mike.
We're not rage
because.
Baiters.
Not rage baiters, but also, and I listen to a lot of these people out here. I interact with a lot of listeners, fans of the team. It's important for me to say what I think happened more than to feed into any narrative that anyone wants to hear.
Yeah,
and that's the number one thing I've always tried to do while having fun doing it.
I completely agree. This has been a marquee week for that. You know, I think it's easy to look at Dan Orlovsky and be like, man, Dan, look at what Dan said. Like, no, I'm not vibing into that. I think he's right on a lot of things, but I'm going to point out where I think he's wrong. Hey, let's go back to the Lions, Dylon. Let's talk to Tommy up in Roswell. Tommy, what's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Hey, man.
So, Mike, you mentioned earlier the word timid, and it's kind of how I feel going into this Falcons game. It's almost like I was dating my dream girl, and after 6 months, one night she did something that I totally didn't think that she was capable of doing, and now I have no idea who I'm dating. That's kind of what happened last Sunday with the Falcons. But that being said, I think they get it done. I definitely think they get it done this weekend. They turn it around. They've got that youthful vigor in them. And as far as the Georgia-Bama game goes, you might hear in my accent, I'm a Brooklyn boy, but I married a Canton girl.
There you go.
Born in 1980, the year that the Dogs won the championship. So we've got a dog household. Sorry, Mike, go Dogs.
Oh, good, man.
And as far as breaking down football, I grew up more of a baseball guy, but listening to you guys over the past years, man, I really think it's you and Bo that are the guys I like to hear break it down the best. You know. I listen to Duke and Bell. Those guys are great, but they agree with each other too much. You know what I mean? You guys
enough,
have
man.
Lightning in a bottle. I never know if you're going to agree or disagree. And you guys literally have taught me more about the game than anybody in my 53 years on Earth. So, love you guys at 92.9. Have a great day.
Checks in the mail, Tommy. Appreciate the phone call.
I tell you what, it's all about humility. I've been humbled. I really appreciate that call because
I wasn't fishing.
You can call it and say John Madden. That's who I like there. And I mean,
very humbling. Appreciate the phone call.
Uh-oh, man. Somebody went in the weeds.
Somebody did go in. Oh, was it? Uh-oh. It wasn't JT because I saw JT hit one in the middle of the fairway.
Well, the red is highlighted. It looks like maybe it's a red coat.
All right.
European.
Dylan's yelling at me. He's telling me we got to go to break, so we're going to try to do that. And just before we do that, just a reminder, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the Washington Commanders and the Atlanta Falcons. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Does the pistol promote poor footwork by the quarterback? Yeah. I will ask Dave Archer, who's going to join us next to talk about that and preview Falcons, Washington. Come up next, the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 Game. Welcome back in. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, and Dylan. It's a boys club. Shout out to Miss Allie Mack. We do miss you, but we're having fun today on a Falcons Friday, chopping it all up. And right now we're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to bring in Dave Archer, the Atlanta Falcons analyst.
Analyst?
For the Falcons.
Thanks, Dylan,
Radio.
For leaving me out there on my own.
Hey, and just a reminder, our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injuries attorney. Get the strong arm. Arch, a lot has been made this week about this Falcons offense. Obviously, a dud of a performance over in Charlotte. I don't think that Dave Archer ever had any performances like last week. But how do you, as an offense and as a quarterback, kind of get back to the drawing board and make sure you don't let one loss turn into two?
Yeah, anybody's played the game, Mike, and I know you said that facetiously. Anybody's played the game has had some moments like that we had last weekend. Unfortunately, we all got to go through them. But So the first thing you got to do is you got to, you know, check what you're doing. Go back to your fundamentals. I know there's been some conversation on you made some good suggestions about some of the inaccuracies for Michael throwing the football. A lot of it is just from your foundation and getting back to some of that kind of stuff. So get back to your footwork, you know, check yourself. I remember whenever I had some issues, I went back and looked at the tape. Were my eyes going the right direction? Were my feet, when I made a bad throw, were my feet following me or were my feet leading me to get me to make certain throws? So really all you do, and I think it's across the board, each guy goes back and, okay, what am I doing? Am I doing the right things? My technique correct? Why did I get beat on that play? Why weren't my eyes in the right spot? You know, why did I miss that? So I think it's just a recheck. I don't think there's not any panic. It's way too early in the year. Certainly some things happened within the coaching staff. From a player standpoint, you and I both know, having been players, we like things to be consistent. And when you see a shakeup to a certain extent on the staff, with the wide receiver coach being let go, there were inefficiencies there. So does that point to him? Is it a wake up call? It's all of that, you know. And then there's also, you know, Zach coming downstairs with a communique with his young quarterback. I always liked having the offensive coordinator right next to me. I'll be honest with you. It was much more eyes to eyes, you know, face to face, as opposed to being on the headset. Because you'll think of something later on and you'll want to walk over and ask him a question or something like that. And I got to get back on the headset. Sometimes you don't have time. Somebody else is using it. So there's just a lot of things that go on that are eliminated when he's on the sideline with you. So I think all that being said, you know, you just kind of recheck your basics and get after it.
Well, you covered it all. Appreciate you coming on this morning, Marshall.
Have a good call.
Look, there's been so much talk, and then the national media has gotten involved with putting out their two cents on what's going on with this offense. But most importantly, let's talk about Michael Penix's footwork, because Dan Orlowski, and I'm not going to rip Dan's. I like Dan personally. I had no issues with him. He played the game, so I can't rip a guy that played the game. But he said that the pistol formation promotes bad footwork as a guy who played quarterback. And he also mentioned shotgun in there, and I know you were in shotgun. I don't know how much you were in pistol. Do you believe that it promotes bad footwork from a quarterback? What are your thoughts?
There is some merit to you get a little bit lazy with your feet because you don't have to do as much, right? So when you're into the center, we're all taught as quarterbacks that we would like to get the ball as deep to the back as we can to give them an opportunity to hit all the lanes, whether it's if you got stretch run on, if you want to hit it to the outside, if you want to hit it front side early, if you want to cut back. The only way you're going to be able to do that is if you get the ball deep enough to the back so he has the ability to see all of that. All that being said, when you're under center, you know you have to bust your ass to get out there or to get deep enough to get him the ball. So there is a lack of needing to explode out from underneath center when you're in the pistol, because all you do is really turn, take one step, and hand the ball. So that's where I said, you know, you've got to go back as a quarterback. Like we talked about on Mike's opening question, is I've got to make sure I'm having a sense of urgency as if I were under center with the pistol. So there is some merit to it that you can get a little bit lazy with your feet. And if you're already kind of in that mode, like Michael was last weekend, then it can manifest itself into, you know, not the looks you're looking for and maybe not being in position the way you're supposed to. As far as the back being able to press the hole, the back doesn't press the hole until he gets the ball in his hands. So I don't know where the pistol has anything to do with the back being able to press the hole. I heard some comment about that. The back, when pressing the hole, is pressing if he's essentially the indentation. As you make movement on the offensive line and you get push and you start to play on their side of the line of scrimmage, that's the area the back's trying to press, and then he'll slide to wherever the daylight comes. So if you don't get any movement, there is nowhere to press. So now you're bouncing along the line of scrimmage, and that's what you want, is you want to be able to stop the running back's feet with stalemates at the line of scrimmage if you're on the defensive side of the ball. So the pistol has nothing to do with the back pressing the hole.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the sticking points I had with it. And I'm with Bo. I really like Dan Orlowski. I think he makes a lot of good points. But I thought that the point he made about the pistol and about Bijan being 8 yards deep, which Bijan's set at 7.5. It just is what it is. And you know as well as I do, Arch,
well, and he's not going to get it there, Mike,
matter.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, you know he's not getting it that deep anyway because he's coming downhill and the quarterback's turning. So he's essentially taking the ball at about 5 yards deep. It's stupid to say you're handing him the ball at 8 yards deep. You're not going to get that because he's coming downhill.
Yeah, I agree with that point of view. Also, I think the cut he showed was Bijan missing the hole. I mean, everybody that's ever run wide zone knows stick your foot in the ground and get north and south. So I didn't agree with that take. So that's neither here nor there, I guess, as you move towards this weekend. Now, I do want to ask you, too. Zach Robinson was asked the other day, a couple of days ago, about whether or not his offense was predictable or vanilla, whatever you want to talk about it. I thought his comments were interesting, Arch. He brought up sometimes when you're struggling the way the Falcons are, sometimes you feel like you have to kind of dumb it down, maybe take things out. Do I think they should take things out of the passing game? Probably. Do I wish they'd add more in the running game? Yes. What did you make of Zach Robinson's comments of saying, look, maybe we ought to take some things away here and make it more simple?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it, Mike? Because if you get too predictable, those guys on the other side of the ball, and you're going to face Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., and those guys have been together for a long time, you better not dumb it down too much because they're going to be able to squash you. And I think the Raiders got a little taste of that last weekend when you simplify what you do. So I think simplifying maybe from a play call standpoint, maybe there's a periphery piece to it. As far as taking things out, I'm not a big fan of that. Certainly you want diversity in the run game. And I know that we'd like to see, both guys carry the ball and both guys carry the ball in different ways. I know you and I have had many discussions about being able to do some gap scheme stuff. We've only seen one play as far as that goes for something prepare for. You guys played that clip from Brick talking about how much they have to prepare for Washington. And that's simply that's what you would like to hear from Quinn and from Joe Witt Jr. Hey, there's diversity in this run game. It's really hard to prepare for.
Yeah.
You're not hearing them say that. So that bothers you a little bit. Now you've got a young quarterback that's still trying to learn the game. And if you overload him with checks or different things you got to get to, then it slows him down. And so we see what happens when you get slowed down mentally last weekend. That's not good. So how can I speed him back up to game speed? So if you do simplify things, maybe he operates at a higher level. There's a much better sense of efficiency, and you confuse the defense by running the same things out of different formations.
Arch, we don't really know if Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota is going to play. We obviously are somewhat familiar with Mariota from his time here, but he played pretty well last week against the Raiders. What do you think, based on what you've kind of been able to see on film, changes when Mariota is in and Daniels is out and vice versa?
I think there's a little bit less vertical passing game with Mariota in the game. I think they'll take some shots down the field. Seems like that there's a little bit more. Jaden Daniels is going to take some shots down the field. Maybe it's just because, he's gotten to play more in the system, and so he feels more comfortable with it. But and the more Mariota plays, the more they're going to take some shots down the field. But Mariota's a bigger player. You're talking about a 220, 225-pound player that you're going to have to tackle in run game. And what they're doing with the run game and what Brick talked about with the variations and the zone reads and the different things, the different gap schemes are doing, they're showing you run one way and all of a sudden the quarterback's coming out the other way. They're going to have to be really good. This is almost like playing – Mike, this is almost like playing the option back in the day where your eyes better be pretty – you better take care of your responsibility. If you get hung up and start peeking and maybe try to crash to make a play, the next thing the ball's going the other direction. So the discipline in run fits is going to be significant this weekend. You're going to have to tackle. These are all big backs. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt is probably the smallest at 210. McNichols, 210. Rodriguez is 225 pounds. Mariota's 225 pounds. So you better tackle. That's something the Raiders didn't do this weekend. They had 200 yards of rushing, and 80 of it came on two plays. And the 60-yard touchdown run by McNichol, they missed five tackles on the play before he ended up breaking Reese and scoring. You got to tackle these guys and get them to the ground. That'll be key.
Finished up here with Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst. And Arch, I look at this matchup, and Washington leads the NFL in yards per carry at 5.7. Atlanta is actually tied for the lead in pass defense at 131 yards a game. It seems like it's going to be a slugfest in terms of the run game, maybe on both sides when you look at Michael Penix last week. How do you see this one playing out? And what do you think about the matchup of Jeff Ulbrich facing off with Cliff Kingsbury and vice versa, like you talked about their defense and Dan Quinn matching up with Zach Robinson?
Well, they're going to try to bludgeon you with the run. They're going to see if you can stop the run. Atlanta's been pretty good. I mean, what, 10th in the league running the football?
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
It's really kind of too early to start leaning into some of the numbers because some of the games played out a certain way where maybe a team didn't throw it as much or a team ran it a little bit more, whatever it might be, and vice versa. But I do think that Atlanta's much better against the run than they were a year ago. I think that the run fits. I think their guys are playing this attack-style defense, and they're doing a good job of getting people in the box to stop the run. So that's going to challenge Kingsbury to try to throw the ball down the field. On the other side of the ledger, when you start looking at Zach versus DQ and Joe Witt Jr., I think that they're going to play a lot of single high safety. I think they're going to get people in the box. They're going to try to take the run game away. They're going to try to make you make some plays down the field. You struggled throwing the ball down the field last week. Can you protect the passer and throw it? I think there's going to be some shot plays here. We've played a lot of teams over the last couple of weeks, or the first 3 weeks, that want to play two high safeties and kind of take a shot play away. That's not the way this defense is. This defense plays a lot of single high. They're going to come up and press. They're going to challenge you, and they're going to get people in the box. And, you know, Bobby Wagner had, 11 tackles and 2 sacks last year. He's their middle linebacker. So he's going to be involved up close to the line of scrimmage. So you're going to have some shot plays. Got to be able to protect. Got to be able to hit the shots because you got a chance for some explosives this weekend.
Arch, by the way, our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Hey, I know that you're probably going to pay attention to the Ryder Cup. What are you thinking about this? How do we match up against these Europeans?
Well, we got four rookies on our team, so there's going to be that emotional piece to it that. Sometimes, you know, all of a sudden you're swinging too hard or you're not staying within yourself. It'd be interesting to see if the veterans that are playing alongside the rookies can calm them down, especially here on the first day with the foursomes and the four ball and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think the Europeans are more talented. They've got a deeper group that have won and that have been in the mix to win tournaments. So it'll be interesting there. I think the emotion of the crowd, hopefully the guys can channel that and make it a positive emotion. So I'm going to give a half a point to the crowd at Bethpage Black, and we nudge them 14.5, 13.5. How about that?
I love that, man. Hey, Arch, we'll see you on Sunday. Hopefully we're celebrating the Falcons' victory, my friend.
I hear you, brother. Take care, man.
Thanks, Dave. Dave's always the best, man.
He's not just an NFL.
There you go.
Analyst. See?
All right, here we go. Call into the show now at 404-726-0929 for a chance to win a pair of tickets to Machine Gun Kelly's Lost Americana Tour with Wiz Khalifa Friday, May 29th, 2026 at Lakewood Amphitheater. Easy for me to say. Tickets go on sale this Thursday, September 25th at 12 p.m. at Ticketmaster.com. We come back, we'll get you a table set with the Commanders at Falcons this Sunday. We also got a life squid.
The number 14. It holds a new significance for one former NFL player, and I think it is just way too big of a number. I'll tell you the what, the why, and all about it next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Finishing up our edition of the Falcons Friday. Mike, Bo, Dylan, Boys Club today. Miss Allie Mack not hanging out with us, but she'll be back on Sunday for the Rise Up Rewind on the countdown to kickoff, which Bo and I will kick off at 11 o'clock, leading to all your play-by-play with Wes Durham and Dave Archer at 1 for the Falcons and Commanders game. Don't forget, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game. Brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, got to hit a couple of different things before we get out of here. First and foremost, let's tie a bow on the Dan Orlovsky stuff. Dan, the viral clip this weekend, I want to play one more cut for you guys. This is him talking about Michael Penix's footwork and what's wrong.
When the quarterback is in the pistol and the gun often, I just think it's really difficult to marry his feet and the timing of throws to routes and route concepts. Because I think quarterbacks that are in the gun more often than not, they live in this catch and throw world, and they're very much so reactive rather than proactive. When you're a quarterback underneath the center, you're trained, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first hitch goes there, second hitch goes there in the pass concept, and the depth of those routes is attached to the timing of that, right? Like, it takes me 1.7 seconds to get to the top of my drop and a 5-step. In the gun, it's hard to gauge that. And so I think, you know, Michael living in the pistol and the gun, just for me, I think, again, it goes back to promoting a little bit of like a lack of urgency, a lack of timing.
That's interesting right there. And like I said, we talked about earlier, you and I, we're not quarterbacks. So hearing it from Dave Archer, he kind of echoed some of the same sentiment. We wondered if you know, the whole thing where Dan Orlovsky saying it promotes, the pistol promotes bad footwork. It's interesting to hear him kind of talk about the timing and the hitch of the routes being associated with that as well. I thought that was actually some interesting stuff that he hit on last night with Turtle.
The timing of the routes is much more interesting part. And we just talked to Dave Archer, and you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app if you want to hear the interview. He actually talked about what he felt about Orlovsky's comments with the footwork and stuff. It sounds like to me, though, when I hear guys talk that played and that say to me and to me and to me, like he's telling me for him, he liked being under center because it helped him with his footwork. It helped him with his timing. Yeah. Do I think that that's the same for everyone? No, I don't. I think everybody's different based on arm strength and a plethora of other little things. The timing of the routes is something that kind of comes to mind. And I wonder now, and I don't know these things. That's why I talk about them abstractly sometimes, like when it gets really detailed. But what's his first read? You know, surely his first read isn't the longest breaking route, right? You know, that like there's got to be maybe sometimes it is if that's the primary decision that they're trying to go deep, they're trying to stretch the field. But that would be a play probably where you would do some kind of play action, because part of what play action does is sets up these longer routes.
Yeah.
Because they take more time. Right. So you're trying to give yourself more time by the offensive line coming off, and stop me at any point when you think I'm wrong, by doing run action so the linebackers and the front seven guys are right, watching the offensive line.
You're trying to break apart the layers of the defense, yeah, by doing play action.
Because
trying to create more space in the defense.
Because it's important to remember, right, that the front seven is not watching the quarterback. They're watching the offensive line.
Yeah, they're for the most part, yes.
They're watching what they do. And if they come off like they're run blocking, then they start to creep forward, right? Right,
which is why the bootleg should be a better concept for us, and it's not. Which is very frustrating. Hopefully they can make some changes to that. We'll see on Sunday. Like I said, you and I will kick it off at 11 o'clock. Countdown to kickoff, the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. You want to give any final thoughts on Bama, Georgia before we get to Life of Squid? I am not going to lie to people and sit here and act like I won't be cheering for Alabama. I don't necessarily believe that they're the better team. I think Bama has equal talent. I think Bama across the board has good matchups in this game. But the fact that you're between the hedges – and the intensity with which Kirby Smart teams play with, I'm not sure that Bama's going to be able to match that. I haven't seen it when Bama's hit the road. So maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully for my sake, I'm wrong because I'll be cheering for Bama. But what are you thinking as far as setting the stage for tomorrow night?
I'm thinking of a few things the way the game played out last year. And obviously they're different teams. Everybody's so different these days in college football with the portal and NIL and such. But Georgia came out last week, and last year, Alabama jumped right on them. Opening drive goes right down the field. Georgia comes out. They have to punt, and then Alabama scores again. Then Georgia comes out, turns the ball over. Yep. Now it's 21-0. Georgia turned the ball over a lot, but they stayed in the game, ended up coming back and taking the lead in that game.
Yep.
Can Georgia do to Alabama what Alabama did to Georgia last year at home, right?
Yeah.
And that said, does Alabama fold if that happens? Can Georgia play clean? Can Alabama beat Georgia if they play a clean game? I don't know. I'm not sure if either team this year, based on what I know this year, can afford to not play a clean game and win it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I know that Bama will try to throw a haymaker there early in the game, and I think Georgia's secondary can be had, but I think they'll have the edge to them at home. Congratulations to Corey from Griffin. Corey from Griffin won those Machine Gun Kelly tickets, so shout out to him.
Baron Burton's W Sauce, as always. And my friends at New Round Brewing, the Allen Lager. I'll have an Allen Lager this weekend, hopefully. If all goes well on Saturday, sit there.
Pretty good.
Dude, I don't want to leave the house. I told Amy, I was like, I haven't had a day to not leave the house in probably 20 days. I haven't stayed home.
3 weeks? It's been 3 weeks since you stayed at home all day?
Well, since the Tampa game on Sunday. And then went to work all week, traveled. Drove.
So you've gone to work every day for the last 20 days.
Drove to Dolphin Island. Yeah, I haven't had a day off in 20 days.
There you go.
Because I count travel as work because I'm not off.
Right.
I'm on a schedule.
I agree.
And I have to behave.
Touche.
All right. So I'm going to sit there and watch football and the Ryder Cup all day tomorrow. Now, let me tell you something. Your dude, your boy. Your guy, your friend, Sean Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
Bama alumnus. Your brethren. He and his wife have announced they're about to have their 14th child.
Dude.
Their 14th child. And he was telling Kay Adams about this on Thursday. And did you know that he's got so many kids? Dude created his own school.
I believe it.
He created his own school.
I believe
it. He has so many kids. Him in his neighborhood. So he created a co-op for his kids and the families in his neighborhood. They have 10 girls and 3 boys. You want to hear the names?
And does the 14th, he know all of
the
them?
The 14th is on the way. Well, let me see. Yeah, they have their own.
He's really outdoing Philip Rivers, by the way.
They have their own Instagram account called the Alexander Family.
Wow.
So it's hubby Sean and then the mom. And then they have Heaven, they have Trinity, they have Eden, they have Joseph, they have Justice, they have Temple, they have Honor, they have Jedediah, they have Torah. She passed away early, and I cannot imagine that.
Yep.
They had Eternity, Hosanna, Hope, and Judea, and some of them are athletes.
Not shocking.
Some of the boys play football and basketball and tennis.
I've got two. You've got one. This makes me sweat so bad just thinking about it. Like,
you
couldn't even hire one nanny if you wanted to go that route. You'd have to hire like 4 nannies.
Bro, I can't imagine the bills.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
imagine
like,
just making lunch at home. It's like 2 loaves of bread. It's ridiculous.
5 years ago, I didn't make enough to have a kid.
Right, yeah.
Now I do, and I'm like, I need to talk to Mike and see how he affords two.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. It just makes me sweat even thinking about it.
But congrats, Sean Alexander, by the way.
And just real quick, going to the names thing, my mom has 2 kids, me and my brother Eric. She calls me Eric all the time.
Oh,
I can only imagine you have 14. You're just running through the entire roster of kids until you get to the right name.
I mean, well, like, you have to own a school bus.
Bro,
have a school bus.
Amy's parents have 3 girls, and when I'm around, and when we're around them, and there's more than one there, no matter what, my parents did it too with us. Like, even though my sister was my sister, but like they still mix it up. Imagine having 10 girls.
No, dude.
Like,
can't do
I
it.
Mean,
can't do
I,
it.
I just
it's insane.
But I give the guy credit. Like, he's from everything I've heard, he's an amazing human being.
That ain't gonna be a lonely house come Thanksgiving. I will just say that for him.
Somebody better be taking care of him when he gets older at a 14.
100%. That's gonna do it for us here on this Falcons Friday edition of the Morning Shift. You got Sandy and State coming up next until Monday. Actually, you know what? Until Sunday at 11 o'clock, where you can catch us on Countdown to Kickoff. Make sure you guys
enjoy the sports weekend and stay cool, Atlanta.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.